You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, here again with Vance Pittman, and today we're diving into the subject of disciplines for the early days of ministry. Vance, what do you think? How important is this subject?
Man, I am super excited for us to talk about this subject today because, for a lot of reasons, but obviously there are those that have gone before us who we can glean wisdom from. And I know there's a lot of planters that are listening to this who are in the early days of ministry. And maybe there's just some small things right now, but some small missteps early create massive misdirection long term. And if you can get some of those things lined out early in your life and build some of those rhythms, it'll put protection and safeguards for the long term health of your ministry. So I'm excited today because I think this conversation could help safeguard the future ministry of a lot of people that are listening to this. So for a lot of reasons, this is going to be a great day.
That's so good. And joining us today as our guest is Ray Ortland. Ray is the president of Renewal Ministries. He founded Emmanuel Church in Nashville, Tennessee, and he now serves from Emmanuel as pastor to pastors. He's authored a number of books, including The Gospel, How the Church Portrays the Beauty of Christ, Marriage and the Mystery of the Gospel, and with Sam Alberry, You're Not Crazy, Gospel Sanity for Weary Churches. He and his wife have four children. Ray, welcome to the New Churches Podcast.
It's a privilege to be with you. Thank you for letting me be involved.
It's really exciting to have you here on the podcast, Ray. We were talking before we jumped on the air. We've actually never met in person, but I have known of your ministry. I'm originally from the Bible Belt, been out in Vegas for almost a quarter century. But so I've known of your work there in Nashville and how God's used you. And then obviously have been deeply influenced in my own life through your ministry and then the ministry of your sons and just how God's using them. And so just grateful for you and excited for our listeners to get to hear today what God's taught you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Vance.
Well, Ray, you've been in ministry for many years, and most of our listeners to the podcast are brand new church planters within the first 3 years or so of their ministry. Today, we would love to talk to you about the disciplines that you did or wish you had started early in your ministry to set you up for success down the road. And so for someone who's just getting started in ministry, what spiritual disciplines would you consider foundational? And how do those disciplines play a crucial role in the personal and professional development that God wants for them?
Yeah, what a great question. It really matters. But the first thing I want to say is just thank you to all those church planters out there. I wish I could high five every single one of you. You matter. What you're doing will matter both now and forever. It is planting a church is an incredibly courageous thing to do. I don't need to tell our church planters it's a hard thing to do. That's obvious, but it's a worthy thing to do. How many people in the course of human history have been able to get up in the morning every day and say, I believe in what I'm going to go do today? Not many, but pastors and church planters can get up every morning and say a couple things. One, this is hard. This is scary. And this is really worth doing. So I just want to commend, and I want to encourage every church planter out there. As Sam and I wrote in that book with the crazy title, You're Not Crazy, and you're giving your life to something that will matter forever. Way to go. That's most important thing I want to say. But, you know, disciplines for long-term steadiness and faithfulness and fruitfulness. Guys, I'm not a big believer in the latest thing, whatever it might be. I would rather go with the tried and true basics, the obvious basics of the Christianity that has been prevailing over the world for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
You know, I want to move my chips over onto that square.
Yeah. Amen.
So I don't really have anything new to say. It's just obvious. Two things come to mind. One is getting up in the morning, reading the Bible, and praying. But you might want to make coffee first. But but Christians have been doing that for 2,000 years, and it works.
Yeah.
And so steady faithfulness in Scripture and prayer is the first thing that comes to my mind. For example, and by the way, I have many regrets. One of the hardest things I'm dealing with in my life right now at 74 is, what do I do with my regrets as I look back? And I'm thinking that through. But one thing I don't regret is getting up in the morning, making coffee, reading the Bible, and praying.
Yeah.
So, for example, I've got a goal for 2024. I'm excited about this. You got to make your Bible study something you really enjoy.
Yeah.
Don't let it become tedious. It's too wonderful to allow to sink into tedium, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, my project for 2024 is Romans 1 through 8. I love the book of Romans. Psalms, Isaiah, and Romans are my three favorite books in the Bible. So I'm going to do Romans 1 through 8 in 2024. And I printed off the text of Romans 1 through 8 and formatted it, made my own document. You can do it from the ESV, find it online. Format it the way you like it, with space between the lines, plenty of space, a nice big font. And I printed it off on 24-pound paper, took it to FedEx office, and had them bind it with this little spirally thing on the side. So I've got my own personal copy of Romans 1 through 8 in a form I can write on, I can highlight with color, I can make notes in the margin, I can make it my own. I've created my own book, my own copy of Romans 1 through 8 for 2024. And my conversation partner is John Murray, his classic commentary on Romans. And I couldn't wait till January 1st. I started December 1st. That's so awesome. I just take one verse a day. And that's going to take me through September of 2024. I'm so stoked. So find a way, I would say to every church planter, find a way that works for you to make daily Bible reading an exciting adventure, and go do it.
Wow. That, just that alone, like we could turn everything off now and be done. Like I think my life just changed just hearing that example. Because you're so right. We so let the things that are so precious become so mundane. We let that which is mysterious and wonderful and beautiful become ordinary and everyday. And man, just the way you talked about it, like I'm inspired just hearing that and encouraged by that. As a discipline, I don't know if you got anything you want to add to that, or you may jump into the next question, but that was profound.
Well, you're so kind. And then the other part, prayer. Guys, I'm no champion in prayer. I mean, you probably are, but prayer is, you know, brothers, prayer is just weakness.
Yeah.
Going toward God.
Yeah.
So if we feel like I really can't pray until I'm great at it, we'll never pray.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a freshman in college, InterVarsity used to have a magazine, a monthly magazine called His, H-I-S. And my dad wrote an article for His magazine in January 1968 about prayer. And the title of the article was the best description of prayer I've ever seen. The title was, "Go to God and Hang On."
Oh.
Now, that's prayer.
Yeah.
Go to God and hang on. So what is it about your life that is scary, tiresome, frightening, and how do you feel fed up? How do you feel like a failure? How do you feel, you know, all these dark emotional surges that are with it? That is exactly what we take to God. Wow. Mm. And he sees high maintenance sinners like us coming his way, and he lights up. Now I'm a pastor, you know, I'm supposed to love people, but I see high maintenance. They're coming my way, and I'm looking out my peripheral vision for an exit strategy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord is, he's not like me. And when we come to him in prayer for the 19th time in a single day, he's not thinking, what? We just talked about this 5 minutes ago. Why? Mm. Come on. Get with it. He's not like that. Mm-hmm. He says, you just come on in here and let me give you a great big bear hug. Mm.
Mm. Well, that leads to the next thing that I want to talk about, and I'd love to get your thoughts on, because for two reasons. We're living in a day when cultural events and things in the world and exegeting culture is maybe as complicated as it's ever been for the church planter in these pioneer areas. While at the same time, we're living in the day that's the demise of denominationalism and the rise of affinity networks. And so there's a lack of theological accountability in a lot of the world that we live in today, because denominations were kind of the buttresses of theological accountability. And then a lot of the new networks, it's more affinity than theology that unites people together. So as a matter of personal discipline, how important is the Bible and a theological pursuit of God? And how do you do that in a matter of disciplines?
Wow. What a great question. That's filled with consequence. And we're living through a time when our theological seminaries are suffering. Mm. And we're always one generation away from going insane theologically.
Yeah, you're right.
And what accelerates theological insanity is personal grandiosity. A church planter who is helping his church get traction by putting his amazingness on display, by being a captivating human being up on stage. That is not only a stab in our Lord's back, it is not only personal betrayal, it is also theological instability. Mm-hmm. Because that kind of church planter needs something really cool and sensational to say. He needs a message that is as sparkling as he is.
Wow.
Mm. Preacher and the message always go together for good or ill. Now, every one of us needs to stare at 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. Mm. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, where Paul says, I thought about this. I thought about what kind of man I was going to be, what kind of church planter. I thought about what kind of preacher I was going to be and what my message would be. And I decided, that's the key expression in those verses, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So personal show-offy, look at me, I'm so cool kind of preaching. I mean, how can you preach a crucified Savior with that persona? It doesn't fit. So Paul was a sparkling personality, but when he preached, that was not what he showed off. He muted his personal impressiveness. And he spoke to people's deepest hearts about a crucified Savior, a suffering Savior, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he spoke as a brokenhearted man to brokenhearted people about a broken Savior. And it totally worked. It says the Holy Spirit entered into that ministry and created converts, not because they were impressed by Paul, but because they were enthralled by Jesus. Now, that's church planting like, you know, an apostolic work.
Ray, so you talk about these disciplines, these internal disciplines of prayer and scripture study and theological alignment with integrity with your life and your preaching. What about some of those external disciplines like community and, and mentorship? How is it important for those young ministers of the gospel to have community relationships where they are able to be accountable and able to be cared for? What does it look like?
Yeah, no, that's such a crucial question. So I have two answers to the question of starting really well and staying on track long-term, bearing fruit, ruggedly faithful and fruitful for your whole lifetime. The first part, get up every morning, make coffee, read the Bible, and pray. Second thing, live in honest brotherhood with two other trusted Christian men. Guys whom you respect, whom you trust, and who know what you're really facing, what's really going on inside you, and how you're not doing well. Somebody has to know every church planter at that level. For example, James 5:16. What a great verse. I love this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, I'm not a huge believer. I'm not a big fan of the Roman Catholic confessional. So if we're not going to do that, then how are we going to obey James 5:16? Confess your sins to one another. So to whom do I confess my sins? That's a legitimate question. I've got to have an answer to that.
Yeah.
So I would say to every church planter listening to us now, dear brother, to whom do you confess your sins? And the answer cannot be nobody.
Yeah.
Or I only confess my sins to God. Whatever, there's a reason James 5:16 is in the Bible. And that reason is it's too easy for me to confess my sins to God alone. What really helps me and safeguards me is meeting with Sam Alberry and TJ Timms here in my study in Tennessee. And I have to look those guys in the eye and I have to tell them, and the sin I don't want to confess to them, that's the sin I most need to confess to them. And when I lose face, something really, and they pray for me, really great things start happening. And by the way, this is not accountability. I don't use that word. I don't like that category because I've seen accountability used in a coercive way.
Yeah.
But transparency is mutual. And that's what the verse says. Confess your sins to one another. Everybody's involved. So we all just, you know, kind of grieve and kind of squirm a little bit. And we don't, I feel bad about it. And I feel like I'm letting them down, but they always receive me and they're so brotherly. They pray for me. And I keep going. And I just don't believe that Sam and TJ and Ray can go too far wrong if we're living in transparency and that kind of honest brotherhood together.
Man, what a good word. If every church planter had people that knew them at that level. There's a trend that to me is very concerning in church planting, where church planters are getting a board of guys who don't live where they live, who don't are not in their city, and they do these calls once a month with this board that they've put in place that they report to that's out of state, out of mind. There's no way you can know somebody at the depth you're describing and not be in proximity to them to do the kind of life that is required.
Yeah, and that's having a board like that, I'm sure it's a good idea because there's a lot of wisdom that can come. But I need more than wisdom about strategic planning and institutional mechanics. Mm. If church planning really amounts to religious crowd control, where's that in the New Testament? Tell me that in the book of Acts.
Yeah, so good.
But if church planting is an honest man of God moving into courageous moments by the power of God's Spirit, linked arm in arm with other guys, visibly or invisibly, who are there in his life, that looks to me like the New Testament. Mm. And it's also personally thrilling. I love brotherhood. And I can't stand relational aloofness. It drives me nuts. Mm. I love solidarity. Who doesn't?
Yeah, yeah. That's really good.
You know, one of the disciplines that we see with planters needing to develop is they get into this ministry, the demands are so overwhelming. There's always another thing to do, just like all pastoring. But in planting, you're building something from scratch, so you're often able to justify the busyness and the overworking. What kind of disciplines can young church planters put into place to have a healthy work-life balance that's going to allow them to endure?
Man, I wish I had the answer to that question. Well, I don't know, man, but I one thing that helps is failure. Hmm. It really helps. Hmm. When I fall flat on my face and something doesn't work at all, then I'm forced to ask why. Hmm. Something just happened. I don't want that to happen again. I've got to understand this. I've got to make some adjustments. Let's figure this out. So God gives us, he lovingly, graciously gives us the gift of failure and the gift of embarrassment, the gift of some kind of setback that helps us to be more realistic and honest and slow down a little bit, back up, and figure out a better way. Hmm. But work-life balance, okay, the truth of it is, okay, this is, if you ever quote me, I'll deny I said it. You got to find something that is so opposite to pastoring and church planting that it's rejuvenating. It's refreshing. So you got to find something that gets you away from a computer screen and gets you away from a smartphone and gets you away from, you got to get outside. The exteriority of the sky and trees and fields and grass and streams and so forth, it's the best therapy you'll ever find. Mm. That's an important part of life. We were created to live in a garden. Mm. You got to get outside, get away from, and you love your study. And by the way, don't call it an office, call it a study. But you got to get outside. For me, that's deer season every fall. And it's not just crazy fun, though it is that. But I'm a better man and I'm a better pastor and I'm a little more settled after deer season than I am before. So you got to find something, whatever it is for you.
I love it. And for those that are listening to this, you can't see what we can see. We're recording this audio, but the man speaks from experience because over his shoulder, we can see on this Zoom podcast the trophies of his success in deer season. So we are madly impressed as well as captivated by that answer.
Yeah, he's a practitioner at this point, for sure.
Vance, what's that been for you? What's that thing that gets you out and gets you?
Yeah, for me, it for a long time, what it was for me was just sports in general. I was a when I was in college, I went to college before coming to Christ and surrendering to ministry. I was majoring in radio, television, and film, and what I wanted to do was sports radio. So I love sports. I love being out in the middle. So it's coaching sports with my boys. It's attending sporting events. It's just sitting around with the guys, you know, by the pool, talking sports and chewing up sports and the stats. So that was it for me for a long time. Was sports was just that place where I just went out, got outside. But in the last few years, a big part of that for me is Noah, something you're passionate about too, is CrossFit. I had a son that got involved in, he played college basketball, got an injury, and through that injury wound up, you know, in the field of CrossFit, and he's now going to be a physical therapist, but he and I, you know, train together and do CrossFit together. And it's just become something we do together with our wives, and it gets us out of the house, you know, in a gym. We work out in a home gym. So ours is kind of outdoors. We raise the garage doors, and our garage is inside, outside. And it's just such a, he's right. There's something about being outside and seeing the magnitude of the beauty of the creation that God made that just reminds you whatever's going on in your life is so small in comparison to the bigness of what God has made that is really true. I do have a buddy who is this year committed to teaching me to be a hunter. So I grew up fishing. I've never hunted. So I'm about to step into your world, Ray, but I don't have the trophies you have yet. So I'm embarrassed to talk about it, but I'm coming.
Oh, that's great.
That's good. Well, Ray, bring us home here as we close up the podcast. What fruit comes from learning these disciplines early in ministry? What are we aiming for?
Well, what we're aiming for. All right, let me put it this way. What we're aiming for is this: to live well and to die well, mm-hmm. by God's grace and for His glory. Mm-hmm. We're aiming for personal intimacy with the living God, personal reality with the Lord, a real walk with God, such that life is meaningful and death is not threatening. Mm. The Apostle Paul said, life is ours, death is ours. We can face anything if we will walk with God. And you know, if we don't really have a real, honest, moment-by-moment walk with the Lord, and we're just great at church planting, that is total failure, brilliantly disguised as massive success. Wow. So let's walk with God.
Wow. Well, Ray, brother, this has been so practical and helpful. Thank you for investing in church planters, our listeners, and thank you all of our listeners for listening to the New Churches podcast. Until next time, may we heed the words of Paul in 1 Timothy 4:7-8 to train or discipline ourselves for godliness, because while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.